Welcome, folks, to a brand new episode of Conversations from a Room. I am Christian Lugo. This is probably my earliest podcast. We're shooting right now at 11 in the morning.
Ayo!
And I have a wonderful guest, such an interesting and cool cat. Aww. I have Josh Gilmer. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, brother. It's good to be here, man.
So Josh is a cool guy that I met on a job. I brought him on because I felt like he was such an interesting character.
You really think so?
Oh yeah, man. You have such a classic look. You look like out of the 1920s. You have like this Peaky Blinders sort of.
I appreciate it. Is it the squinty eyes? Is that what
it's
it is?
The beady little eyes? Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. You have like a Josh Brolin-esque sort of look to you.
Well, I definitely take that as a compliment.
And I thought, wow, this guy is probably the biggest dick.
That's hilarious that you say that.
People say that to you a lot.
Multiple people that I've met out here that are not my friends were like, yeah, man, when I first saw you, I just thought you're gonna be like the biggest asshole douchebag.
It's the sharp blue eyes. You're a great guy. You're a gentleman.
Thank you, brother.
You're a
appreciate
scholar
it.
And I love your knowledge of film and the love for television. That's why I brought you on because every time I mentioned any movie, you quoted lines.
Well, you would say
film.
A quote and I was usually able to say the next line. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought, what an interesting person to have on the show, because I talk about film on the show. I talk about television. We talk about literature a little here and there, but mostly just like film and Hollywood, because this is where we live. This is our life.
It is.
And you're also a very funny guy, which was nice because I feel like my podcast is more catered to dumb, funny people.
All right.
You're all three of that, so.
The triple threat. Yeah.
Yeah, the trifecta. But thanks for coming on.
No, man. Thanks for having me. This is great.
So what was your bring up? What was your anticipation of coming to Hollywood and doing this?
Oh, like in general, or are you talking about today? You're talking about moving to Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, I know why you came here today, because I forced you to.
You forced me to come here?
I'm talking about Hollywood, man.
Oh,
What made you want to make this stupid decision to become an actor?
That's such a great way to put it, right? What made you want to be one of those millions of idiots that's out there like chasing this ridiculous dream?
Don't get me wrong. I love the same thing.
No,
but
of course.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's absolutely ridiculously insane. Mm-hmm. No, you know, man, it's one of those situations where, you know, I'm from the Midwest, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up a few hours south of Chicago in a little town called Bartonville, Illinois.
Wow.
And
you're like straight out of a 90s film. You grew up in the same street that Steve Martin and his family lives.
Yeah, around the corner.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He's trying to get to Chicago.
Such a classic, by the
way.
Yeah, but you know, it's very Midwest. It's very much, you know.
Isn't that where Home Alone took place? Like outside
Chicago,
in the suburbs.
Okay, in the suburbs. Okay. Yeah,
I imagine that just like pretty quaint streets.
Wilmette, I think maybe is one.
Who?
Wilmette, I think. I don't know. I just watched. There was a documentary on Netflix. It's like
what movies made us or whatever.
Yes, yeah. And that was I love that. Did you watch that?
No,
movie?
But I hear it's really interesting.
There's four. You know, they do four movies.
The toys that made us, the movies that made us.
But in terms of the movies, it's classics, right?
It's like
Ghostbusters, Home Alone, Dirty Dancing, and
Die Hard.
Die
right?
Hard.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Just phenomenal.
I've only the only one I haven't seen of that is Dirty Dancing.
Like of the episode or the movie?
No, the movie.
You've never seen Dirty Dancing?
No.
Oh my god! See, I grew up with a sister,
you know,
though, so like
is?
We watched that on repeat.
I have nothing against dancing. I just don't like the dirty aspect.
Just too much for you?
Too much.
It's too risque.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny. I love that we just went on that crazy tangent.
Yeah.
We were talking about where I'm
hometown.
From, and yeah. So yeah, you know, it's your basic small Midwestern town. You know, grew up playing sports and.
Why didn't you move to Chicago? Why not Chicago? Oh, you did. Okay. How long were you there?
For a second. Right?
For a second.
let's back up, I guess, a little bit. So, you know, I went to college, you know, just like you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You graduate.
Did you study theater
school?
In college?
I did not.
Really?
No, I had this, you know, I always had this this love and this interest in this, you know. And then you go into high school, and I continue to be involved in a lot of different things, but never anything theater-wise. You know, I was in, mm-hmm. like, student council and all that sort of stuff, but sports.
When did you really, really fall in love with acting, I guess?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, as a little kid, I loved it. And then, I've always, you know, enjoyed, appreciated movies, television, mm-hmm. commercials, you know, comedy, drama, everything.
Even commercials.
I love commercials. Oh my gosh. Like my buddy, you never hear that these days. No, you don't. But like,
the commercials nowadays are like little films. They're like short films.
They really are. And it's so funny. My best friend that I lived with, I was his best man, but then I lived with him for a sec and he would just crack up because he'd be like in the other room and I'd be in the living room watching TV and I would just be like dying laughing and he would know that it wasn't the show that I was laughing at. Yeah. It was the commercial. The
commercial, yeah.
But he was just like, man, they made that one for you. And I you know, anything creative.
I like a smart commercial.
So my buddy, if he actually ever listens to this, he's going to know the commercial I'm about to talk about. But there is a classic Verizon commercial, right? Where the kids are outside shoveling snow and it's snowing and it's freezing and the parents are standing inside looking out the window at the kids and the dad is drinking a cup of coffee and you know and the mom says something like, you know, what are the kids doing? He's like, well, you know, I told them if they shovel the drive they could talk on their phones as much as they want. And she goes, yeah, well, they can already do that. He goes, yeah, well, they don't know that. and then he takes a sip of the coffee and he goes, burn myself. And I like it's so subtle and it's so simple, but to me I just thought it was brilliant. It was hilarious.
Things like that, because I'm sure you've done commercials, right?
I've done some very small that nobody's ever seen, that, you know, random
LA
online
commercials. An LA commercial, yeah.
And then one decent one, I guess.
I've done a few commercials in Los Angeles. I've been grateful to get hired on like a good number of commercials. That's how I've been able to survive. But when you see those little like sort of personal ad libs outside of what the product is, I wonder, was that added in the script?
Was that the actor's choice?
Yeah, it's the actor's choice. And that's when things get really good because the actors are putting their little bit of like flaw. And that's why
their stamp on it. Yeah,
that's why they always hire, like, we need comedians. We need improvised people who understand like how to improvise and how to put their own swing on it.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But anyway, so yeah. So that was all, you know, junior high. I was very much into all that, you know, elementary school, junior high. And then sports, you know, just kind of took over.
Mm-hmm. What sports did you play?
I mean, growing up, it was, you know, basketball, baseball, football.
Okay.
And then high school was pretty much just basketball and football.
Really?
Well, a couple years of basketball and then like 3 years of football.
Who's your team?
Professionally?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm a Bears, Bulls,
cool,
Cubs.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All Chicago.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's
you know, sort of born into it. But no, man, like, yeah, I, you know, you graduate high school and, you know, you go to college because you gotta get a job and, or, you know, you gotta graduate with a degree to get a job and you work and that's what life is.
How did your parents feel about you becoming an artist?
So that's very interesting.
I know. Yeah. I always ask that because it's like every parent is different. I feel like every parent at the end of the day wants their kids to be happy, wants them to do. But I mean, I've had those talks with my parents where they're like, I've had my mom support me in every way and just be like, you do you, honey. Like, I love you. You're a star in my eyes. I want you to be good.
Right.
But then I've had conversations where she's like, if you don't start making any fucking money, I swear to God, I will kill you.
I definitely can understand where you're coming from. First off, let me just say that my parents have been ridiculously over the top supportive.
That's
like
great,
like more so than I ever could have imagined, right?
Wow, that's great.
Because I, you know, I graduated, got a, you know, got a job, then, you know, the crash happened, I got laid off, I got another job, whatever. I took
the crash?
Well, you know, like this 08, right? When like things I saw my first like job.
Oh,
and then,
I see.
And so
it wasn't really a momentum going on.
It was not. But eventually I got a decent job where I was doing very well.
Okay.
And
outside of acting?
Outside of acting, right?
What were you doing?
I was in sales, right? Marketing and sales.
It's always sales.
Of course it is.
It's
right? I mean, because that's...
I used to work in sales.
It just makes sense.
So was this like a Wolf of Wall Street sales situation?
No. It was outside sales I'd rather not say the company, but it was it was like an optical, we'll just call it, brand.
Okay, cool.
And I was doing, I did very well. I was doing well. We talked about this. But no, I was doing very well. I was very successful. And, you know, they just made some changes internally that I did not agree with.
Really?
But I was able to, but I had been, you know, successful enough. I did well enough that I was able to save up a little nugget.
How long did you work in sales for?
I mean, overall, I was in, you know, in sales or marketing in some fashion or form for like 8 years.
Were you more a phone call type of guy?
No, that last job that I had before making the jump was outside sales. I had a territory that included Northwest Florida, so mm-hmm. like the Panhandle, and then Southern Georgia.
Wow,
that was my territory.
And so did you house to house?
No. It was business to business.
Oh, yeah, cool, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. You just got to go have dinner with people.
I got to go. Yeah, I trained people.
What was the biggest thing that you learned or got out of doing sales as not even as an actor, but as a human being?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, being in sales, not to the extent of acting, but like, you know, it teaches you how to deal with being told no. Right?
Really?
Well, think about it. I mean, audition-wise, I mean, what do we audition?
Because your whole thing is to go in and pitch an idea. Or pitch your company.
Find their need, yeah. Right? I mean,
they said we're not interested, that was kind of like
And it's like, okay, but you know, you do it in a way that you establish a relationship, because sooner or later, you know, they'll be back. Mm-hmm. And it's just having that confidence, but being able to deal with the no, like, that's okay, there's somebody else that's going to want it, I'll mm-hmm. move on. And then, you know, but just like acting, right? Going and auditioning, and you got to have thick skin out here. If you can't be told no and it's going to ruffle your feathers, you don't have a shot.
See, I don't get bothered with being told no anymore, but I do this thing where if they tell me that they're not interested, I say, you know what? You're making a huge fucking mistake. Yeah. And then I just walk out of the room.
You look them right in the eye and like point your finger in their face. Yeah. No, but it's, you know, it definitely helped me out, you know, I would say to some extent mm-hmm. for, you know, life that is out here.
So when you talk about moving out to Los Angeles, what made you come to LA as opposed to New York? Because you're also close to New York. You know, you're close to Chicago. Yep. Is it because of film in general?
You know, I'd done a little bit of research, you mm-hmm. know, online and stuff. I mean, obviously, anyone knows that, right? LA is the place.
Yeah.
And
even if you've never even been to the state.
Exactly. Like, yeah, LA. You know that this is the hub, right? Mm-hmm. This is where you should be. And so that was my thought. I'm like, you know what? I mean, it's my head. It's always been sort of big or go home, right? So it's like, if you're going to do this, do it.
Yeah. And I always say the same thing. Go to the core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it made the most sense. Like, why sort of half-ass it and go to, you know, Atlanta?
Yeah,
or you know.
Because there are other...
Even though, you know, you hear great things about Atlanta, though, now, especially, you know, you could be maybe a quote-unquote, you know, a slightly bigger fish in a smaller pond. True.
You can be on one of those TV shows.
And maybe I should have done that, but in my brain, right, I was just like, L.A. I have to go to L.A. That's same where here. Everything is, and that's where I need to go.
So, how has it been for you in L.A.? How do you like... How long have you been out here?
2.5 years.
Oh, okay.
It'll be 3 years in August.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for previous work, for same company that was outside sales, but different job before I moved into the outside sales position, mm-hmm. I traveled the country.
Oh, okay.
And so I had spent a ton of time out here.
What's your favorite state that you visited?
Man, that's tough, man. I mean, state?
Mm-hmm. Or just town.
You know, well, it's funny. I talk about this, you know, overall, I very much Nashville is a favorite city of mine. But I'm a huge...
Because of music?
I'm a huge country music fan.
Really?
Huge.
I don't see why I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely grew up on that. I mean, I love all music. I'm very much a music person.
Okay.
Not that I could play it or sing it or anything, mm-hmm. but I love music. But no, that's... Yeah, I mean, I feel like I like it all. But no, so Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But San Diego...
I keep hearing things about San Diego. What's so great about San Diego?
I don't know, man.
San Diego. A whale's vagina.
I love it. Yeah? It's expensive, of course. Just like
I don't know. I've been there a few times.
I think it's kind of similar to here, but there's just like less
really
commotion or craziness.
It's a little bit more quaint.
It's a little bit more chill. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there's parts of LA that, you know, you have those little sort of beach towns that I enjoy, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm a small town guy, so mm-hmm. that's where I'm, you know, most comfortable.
Yeah, you feel more at base.
Different places like Pacific Beach down there, PB, that you know has some, you know, different pubs and it's just I don't know.
That's so funny,
I just feel I've been at home, but you're on the coast, so it's gorgeous and chill at the same time. As an example, my dad and I, when we made the cross country trip mm-hmm. out here from Florida, because I was living in Florida at the time as sales rep. I was in Panama City Beach.
That's awesome.
It was just like this, you know, the sort of the central location in terms of the panhandle.
My parents just bought a house in, you know, Seaside.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. They just bought a house.
30A.
Yeah, 30A. Exactly. Yeah,
there you go,
man.
Absolutely.
That's so fun. Truman Show.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, they own that too. Yeah, they sure. Very much put it out there that it was filmed there. Mm-hmm. But no, Dad and I, we made the cross country trip when I moved out here, but he had never been to a couple different places, and one of those places was San Diego. Mm-hmm. And so when we went there, you know, we did a little sort of like a pub crawl. Mm-hmm. And you know, so there's that, and then there's places that have music. There's a Tin Roof, which is a bar that is also like in Nashville and stuff, where they have live music. And
so you and your dad are really close. You guys do stuff like that.
Yes.
Like,
oh, where? Yeah, he's
beer
like,
drinking and all
he's,
that.
He's like my best friend.
Do you guys? That's awesome, man. That's yes. Good for you. Do you yeah. guys do a lot of boys trips together? Like just you and him?
So, no, but you know, I've moved so much in my life that him and I have done multiple moves together, which is him and I driving, you know, doing some stuff. Actually, my buddies and I, we do an away Bears trip. Every
oh, cool,
year,
man.
Where we go to a different city and go to a Bears game, and Dad has been able to be a part of that, and you know, so yeah, I mean, we
that's
get along.
Good, man. You got to have that. You
oh, we're definitely good... more at this stage, right, of my life. We're definitely more buds than anything else, and it's
do you
it's
feel
fantastic.
Like it's gotten different as you are older? Like, it's
of course,
it's more stronger now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, great, anybody that knows me and my family, I mean, he was a teacher and a coach, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, do you call him coach?
I do not. Everybody else in my town
That's
does.
That's so funny.
Oh, yeah, everybody in town calls him coach.
That's so funny.
To me, he's just pop. Yeah. But.
So what are the certain things that you, like, certain hobbies that kind of keep you grounded when you're not so conflicted with this acting career?
Right. I mean, I love working out.
How do you treat yourself, essentially?
I love working out.
That's really? Well, you're a big workout guy?
Well, it's just sort of my zen, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you're just... You know, you could just put your headphones
in great shape,
on.
So
hey,
it looks
thanks,
yeah.
buddy. But you know, you put your headphones on. Yeah, you know, I wear a hat. Put the brim down pretty low.
It seems
low
like
and
some
just,
of the most successful people in pretty much in any business
in life,
they talk about their workout routine.
Absolutely.
How working out is just like their bread and butter.
Yep.
And which they shouldn't have bread and butter because it's part of their workout.
Yeah, way too many carbs. Yeah.
Are you a strict diet guy? Do you not? Do you?
I'm pretty strict. Just because I feel like it allows me mm-hmm. to sort of, you know, mm-hmm. indulge
okay.
on occasions if, you know, I want to go out with a
cheat
with,
day.
Well, or yeah, or multiple.
So that's kind of like your
it's
meditation.
Very clean.
You go, you have a nice workout.
I work out, yeah. I eat healthy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm
you're a working actor, man. Like you work for the craft. Like
right.
whenever you're, I'm sure your free time is like, okay, I'm gonna go watch this film because it's supposed to be something that's, you know, because film can
always be learning, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Always be
film
learning.
Is a source of educating yourself, you know.
Yeah, and like we talked about before, you know, I don't have the theatrical, dramatic. You know, drama school background.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's very important that I'm constantly watching, reading. So I'm, I'm constantly reading different books. You know,
yeah, that's good.
And screenplays and
yeah, I love reading plays
and watching. You know, great stuff.
Especially
right?
now with like a lot of these great films, even Oscar films, are on streaming platforms.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which makes our lives so much easier.
It's so true.
We can watch on Amazon Prime has like, you know, these great Oscar films, you know, obviously Netflix. HBO has some of the best films of all time, you
absolutely.
Know. So it's like, yeah, I don't feel bad like, okay, I'm gonna use this time to watch a film. You know,
right.
it's like, okay, I have 3 hours. Okay, I'll watch The Irishman. I'll watch a Noah Baumbach film twice. You know what I mean?
But it's true though. But that's the other side of what we do. It's so awesome. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, we get to watch a movie, and that's considered
so. If you're
quote unquote, you know, work
exactly.
You know,
so
we
if
get
you're
to study.
If your work consists of everything within the craft, do you write? Do you take any like maybe improv classes?
I was taking classes. I mean, as soon as I moved out here, I got into class.
Okay,
I started studying Meisner at Baron Brown in Santa Monica.
How was that?
Awesome.
Yeah, you liked it?
I studied with DW. And
that's when you're like,
Lane
oh, these
Williams.
Are my people.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, and that's how that kind of works, though, too, right? It's mm-hmm. like, especially if you just move out here by yourself. I mean, those are the only people that you really know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're doing this crazy thing in front of them. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're comfortable in front of these people. You trust them because you're trusting them with your emotions that you're mm-hmm. up there just sort of like putting yourself out there and
Since
being
you
vulnerable.
Don't really see, well, a good example for that is like you do seem like a person who is like an everyday sort of guy. it is probably hard for you to be not vulnerable, but you don't seem like a traditional actor where you can that's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
how do you work with these other actors? And I know this is going to sound pretentious, but like these
that actors have studied,
not only have
the background,
not only that, but are so obsessed with it. You know what I mean? Who almost are outside of like the norm,
just like outlandish.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny. I've had a conversation when I first went out here with my sister, and you know, there are definitely those people that you come across that are like, oh, okay,
because
like,
you were like
the drama school person, even though even though you don't really have that, but you know, you have that sort of
even in college and high school. I was a very kind of like, look, I'm here because I enjoy doing it, but I'm not gonna do that.
Right.
I'm not gonna do what you're doing. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's different types of actors.
No, there are. There absolutely are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
everyone thinks we're all the same, you know. But you have like your Jim Carreys, and then you have like your Brad Pitts. You know what I mean? They're completely different sources.
I think I'm super fortunate in terms of like my personality and sort of like the way I was raised, my parents and I had bosses in the past that, you know, they'd give me reviews and they would say, you know, one of my best qualities is like, I'm a chameleon.
Mm.
And I think that totally helps out here because I genuinely like and enjoy people of all different personalities, races. I like people. So, you know, the eccentric person to me is entertaining. I mean, could I take it all day, every day, and this person be my best friend? Maybe not, just because, you know, we would probably sort of clash a little bit. But I love it. Like, you know, you get into those classes in those rooms full of people that are literally all these different, you know, backgrounds and makeups. And yes, you have the eccentric drama school person, mm-hmm. but then you also have the me's that literally just moved out here. And I used to mm-hmm. be in sales. And once you get on the stage, right, or once you get on the playing field or the court, right, is mm-hmm. like the analogy that I know use. It's like,
game.
It's, you know, hey, here we go. And I feel like, too, because I have so much to learn. You get on the stage with those people that this is all they've done, and it brings your game up, right? Like you're like, okay, like I
agree with that completely, because as you're saying that, I'm like, you know what, you're right, because I don't care what your strategies are, what instruments you use to express yourself, as long as you have a passion
absolutely
for the craft and
yep.
you love doing this.
Yep,
we're friends. We're good.
That's me. You know, it's funny that you say that, because the thing that bothered me the most in class were the people that would constantly break and look at the teacher like, am I doing this right? Like,
yes.
And I'm like,
exactly.
Look, come on.
Yeah.
Just commit.
Because you're overthinking it. Stop thinking.
And so that would be frustrating to me because I'm up there and I don't really know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm trying.
Do you feel like... You have like this almost fearless mentality of like, I don't care if I look stupid, I don't care if I look bad, I'm just gonna like give it 110%.
Well, I'm terrified, first off.
Oh, really? Do you get nervous?
Well, I mean, maybe it's my personality and I'll always be there.
Do you get more nervous about people thinking about your performance, or more nervous about they're putting a lot of money into this production, I can't fuck it up?
I think there's probably
a little bit of both. Yeah.
And too, like you're talking about, you know, you get on, you know, you book these roles and you know, I know my background, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and then I meet these people that like, they're, you know, they're bringing their A game and I'm like, man, I better figure this out. I'm nervous and terrified before everything.
Use
that energy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You have to use the fear.
You know,
use
that energy and you know. I don't know. And I think that's very much the why I enjoyed, for somebody with my background or lack thereof in terms of acting and drama, I think the Meisner was perfect for me because, hey man, just be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you made your choice. Be in the moment with the actor and just play moments. Just go, you know.
I was watching Comedians in Cars with Seinfeld. Great, great series.
Amazing series.
Just such a smart thing
to do.
His
personality and everybody that he brings on,
I love when he's like, I don't like talking to people that I don't want to talk to. I just want to talk to my friends and comedians.
It's brilliant because like some episodes are what, like 12 minutes?
Oh,
15
yeah, if
minutes?
That.
It's
so informative. Awesome. So he had Steve Martin on and he asks him about his, you know, his early career when he was performing in front of thousands of people in stadiums and all that. And he's like, you know, in the beginning, Steve, you seemed like you were so confident and that you had this sort of confidence that you would come out and that everything was just fine. He's like, well, I felt, Steve says, I felt like I had to fake the confidence.
I had to fake the confidence.
Feel people can sense when you're nervous, and when they sense you're nervous, they don't trust you.
100%.
They don't believe you.
Yep.
So if they felt like you were confident, they would feel like you were funnier or more impressive.
100%.
So I feel like
regardless
it's true.
If it's garbage or whatever, if you're confident,
if you believe
in what you're saying,
yeah.
They're gonna. Well, and that's just like acting, right? It's like I had Elaine Williams, one of the nuggets, you know, that she said is like, look, if you believe what you're saying, the audience is gonna believe it.
Exactly.
So whatever you have to do with the dialogue. That you believe it,
mm-hmm.
The audience is going
to
believe it.
That's,
now, you know,
so
working
funny.
On.
That's what I tell. That's why I tell people about Scientology. They should really get to.
Oh gosh! Here we go. Welcome to Hollywood, folks. Yeah,
exactly. So tell us about the series you worked on. I want to know about it. It sounds so interesting.
Oh gosh! Don't call it a series.
Oh, it's
a
movie?
No. But it's just funny in that we got an email that's like, "This is not a series. This is a pilot." Do not refer to
it. Okay. Well, let's hear about this pilot. It was super cool. I don't know. I forget the name, but from what I know of it, it's a Wild West
Chronicles.
I guess who is it? Is it a true story?
Each episode is a different historical Wild West tale.
So we can't call it a series, but we can call it an episodic.
they want us to call it a pilot, even though they shot three stories.
All right.
But yes, each episode depicts, you know, actual historical events that took place back in the Wild West.
Oh, okay.
Ours just so happened to be about the infamous Dalton Gang.
Okay.
Which, they robbed trains. They did some cattle rustling. You know,
pretty much what you assume from an old Wild West movie. Just like you gotta rob at least one train.
Of course, they're robbing. Right?
Yeah.
But the story that made them, you know, infamous, or you know, that really put them on the map is what the show is mostly about, that they decided to rob two banks at the same time in the same town.
Okay.
And I mean, without giving away the entire episode,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's what it's about. And it was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But just the Wild West. I mean, time, the period is awesome. So when it finally aired, the Western aired, 2 days ago now, Sunday.
Awesome,
I
man.
Mean, they...
So what's the name? What's the title? And
so
where can we find it?
It's Wild West Chronicles. Mm-hmm. It's on the INSP network.
I never heard of
that. It's a small network out of, I think, South Carolina, but it's one of the Carolinas. And but it's currently streaming on their YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Wild West Chronicles, and our episode is the Dalton Gang.
That's awesome, man.
But the other episode that they aired is amazing as well, the Pearl Heart story. But just amazing acting, amazing stories, and yeah, it was just so much fun.
That's
I
awesome.
Mean, riding
well,
check a
horse, that out, guys.
Shooting
West,
guns. I mean,
Wild
you
West
know.
Chronicles. That's
yeah.
incredible. Good for you. That
Thank
must have
you.
Been so much fun. That's such a good Josh role.
Oh my God. Well, that's what everybody said, right? Like it's just such. It's so perfect for you. And but yeah,
yeah
no. But so we, you know, Agua Dulce, Santa Clarita. But then we also went to this like little Wild West town
uh-huh.
that is built out in a Joshua tree.
Oh, cool.
So
man.
We got to like film.
Joshua
you know,
tree's the best.
Oh, it was
so perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was just so much. I told like I remember the executive producer. I was like, dude, I just feel like an 8-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just running around and we're
mm-hmm.
playing
There's
in
nothing
dirt,
better
shooting
than
guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Riding horses.
But like filming on location is so nice, man. So
well,
nice.
And it's in, you know, and that's the other thing, right? In terms of you know acting,
mm-hmm.
it's like when you're put in a situation like that where it's so believable for you know for your imagination, it just makes your job right like that much
mm-hmm.
easier
because yeah,
you're in it.
Once you put this costume on,
you put the wardrobe
you
on,
you're on set. You know, it's that's why a lot of actors who wear prosthetics are like, it completely helped me form
right.
my character. You
right.
know what I mean?
Because
it's
right.
like you become this person.
Yep.
You know, that's why people gain weight for a role when you can easily put on like a fat suit, but it's like, no, I want to
gain or lose weight. Yeah.
yeah.
Christian Bale, Vice.
Yeah.
Joaquin, Joker.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And that's what he said. He's like, look, you know, God, lose 50 pounds
mm-hmm.
and then try to act.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you feel your
mentally,
body.
Mentally,
yes,
it puts you somewhere.
Of course.
Would you go through a weight change
100%
for a role?
I would.
Really?
You would
stop working out and kind of get heavy
if
you had to? 100%
I would because, honestly. Because
you'd probably go back to it really quick. You'd probably.
That's not why.
Oh, really? Why not?
Confidence in terms of I don't have, you know. I've not been doing this very long.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have the utmost confidence in my ability. So I would want to do.
Mm.
Whatever I could do
to put you there.
To get me
yeah.
to where I need to be.
That's the trace of a good actor. Anyone who's able to commit.
Yes.
To, you know, and I know that you're a smart person. You wouldn't put yourself through turmoil.
No, but I mean, you do it the right way.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right, cool. So this has been really good about our daily lives. I guess that's pretty much. Nah, any shout out to anyone?
Oh, shout out to the peas. Love you, mom and pop. Momsy and pop. Love you guys. I don't know if you're going to actually be able to figure out how to listen to this. No, man. I you know, I don't know. It's just, like I said before, and I'll say it again, just thank you so much for bringing me on, man.
We're only halfway there.
You're popping my podcast cherry, buddy. Oh, so this is awesome. Appreciate it.
It's a nice hard rocking podcast. Yeah. All right, guys. I guess that's our cue.
Sorry, mom and dad, on that one.
Yes. Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Gilmer.
And anybody else?
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
All right, and this podcast has been brought to you by Flex and Rex, the protein for your dog to guarantee that he is just as ripped as you are.
That's right, folks. We have a brand new product here called the Flex and Rex. The Flex and Rex? Flex and Rex?
Flex and Rex.
Flex and Rex. So it's a company that makes protein treats for your dog. Do you guys feel like you're giving your dog these treats that aren't really giving him enough additives that he needs throughout his day? Flex and Rex has 20 grams per protein treat. If you think your dog isn't enough swole in front of the other dogs, do you have a Chihuahua, a Pomeranian, maybe just a Shih Tzu that just aren't looking swole enough? The Flex and Rex will give your dog that really mean bulldog looking look, sexy yet like South Beachy look. Josh, you give your dog Flex and Rex.
How on a daily basis.
How has he been adapting to it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's swole. He's pretty much turned himself into a meme after I've started, you know, day and night, you know, these tablets.
Has he gone any more aggressive? Is he more into the dude culture now that he's
a little bit more dude culture?
Yeah, yeah. Listen to a lot of Joe Rogan.
Oh, dude.
Drinking Bud Lights.
Drinking Bud Lights and smoking weed.
See, now PETA has sort of a skeptic situation with the because
it's completely healthy for the dog.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
FDA approved.
Is it really?
It really is.
Thank God.
Yes.
Biggest attribute for using a Flex? Is it more for so people that love to work out that want their dogs to look bigger?
100%. Right?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You know, you're in the gym. You know, you're looking buff. Mm-hmm. You want your best friend to be in that same position. So that's what Flex and Rex is all about. Give them the protein tablet to make them just as swole as you are.
Wow. So you're going to be a douchebag, but your dog's going to be one
too.
That's great, man.
He better make sure he also is wearing the, you know, like the studded collar, you know?
No, they would be wearing a hookah necklace. Okay.
Flex and Rex Amazon now.
Yeah, so try Flex and Rex for your dog. You can get it on Amazon or flexandrex.com. So don't be skeptic about it, folks. Flex and Rex will change your dog's life forever.
And your life.
Yeah, yeah. But it will make his penis small. Don't try Flex and Rex. That's terrible for your dog.
Yeah, don't even.
All right, cool. So we're going to get into my favorite part about the podcast.
Yep.
What's one of your favorite films?
Oh, I hate that question.
What is one of the worst movies you've ever seen?
Yes.
And what's your guilty pleasure movie?
Okay. Favorite film is so tough, right? Because as you grow up and as you
change
and evolve. I mean, exactly. I have a few.
I usually say like four or five.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, oh my gosh. Favorites? I mean, you got Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay. That's like, that's supposed to be number one on the AFI list.
It's just, I mean, well, it's one of those shows that, you know, or movies that they air it and you've seen it a million times, but it's on TV and you just end up watching it.
I it's one of those movies too that you reference all the time, like the Shawshank, it's like that thing from Shawshank, like it's such a reference film.
Yes,
it's such a quotable film.
Oh, absolutely,
the film that sort of explains the human spirit so well.
Yes,
it's just one of those films that cater to this sort of everyday human being.
Right. Oh,
you
absolutely
can relate to a man who's dealing with pain or
100%
how he's going to be able to come out of this, certain situation. And it's like, yeah, we haven't all been to jail, so we can't relate to it.
Right.
But we can relate to like being in a shit situation.
Tim Robbins. Is that his
name?
Got
it. Yeah. Tim Robbins. Yeah.
But like that's up there. You got Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm. Another great one.
I have to say Top Gun, because otherwise my mom would kill me.
Really?
I just, since I was a little kid.
That's so funny.
A Christmas Vacation.
Oh, I love Christmas Vacation. Classic. That one's great.
I mean, it's a Christmas movie, but it's one of my favorites. Yeah.
There's all the
Remember the Titans. I could go on for days. I just love.
So you're more into the classic. What's one of the more latest, maybe 2019, 2020 films that you've seen that you love, that you think that can be part of your most favorite film?
There's been so many good ones. Oh, yeah. Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit was great, wasn't it?
Well, because it was just so different. Mm-hmm. It was so different, but it was...
We've never seen it's a movie that doesn't make sense on paper.
No,
If you were to describe it on paper, like, we can't make this movie. It's wrong.
Yeah, and I think maybe it helped that I didn't have a clue what it was about going into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just...
Did you know it was going to be a comedy?
No. Well, I Taika. Yeah, so I had a feeling there was going to be a little bit something with it because lighthearted him, because he's just freaking brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, Jojo Rabbit is, I mean, that's amazing. But all, you know, all these movies that are out this year.
I expect a more of a silly sort of fun feel comedy. But then it does hit you with those dark tones. And you're like, oh, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to make an entirely different, strong film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to laugh about it. But, you know, then he cuts into the people, you know.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to be making a movie about World War II. It's going to have some sort of dark
tones
to it.
The way he was able to touch on, you know, on the history and stuff, the way he was able to do it and the way he was able to tell the story was just unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that was,
because it's just such, you know, it's such a sad...
So would that have been your dream winner for the Oscars?
I thought, maybe not a dream winner, I just thought it would win, but Parasite was incredible.
Yeah, I don't think you can complain about Parasite.
No, not at all. I loved it, but both those two were like, I had no idea going in what they were about. Like, I didn't know. And honestly, I'm moving forward, I think I'm going to do more and more of that. Is like, I don't want to know about it. I just give me the movie.
Oh, I love doing that. Yeah. Like, not watching any trailers. I try to keep away from trailers.
And just and not reading anything, you know, and just watching it.
Yeah.
But going back to favorite movies, I have to say The Departed.
Oh, I love that's probably one of my favorite movies too.
It's up there, man.
I love Jack Nicholson.
Oh, he's just so good.
Leonardo DiCaprio is good in everything. It's a good man, and it's a good Matt Damon film too. Yes, you know,
and Scorsese.
Scorsese is the best man.
Yeah,
yeah. No, that's a great film, and that's like one of the films I think about when I think of like my favorite Jack Nicholson performances.
Oh gosh,
I even love him as like Something's Gotta Give or As Good as It Gets. Like I love him in rom coms.
As Good as It Gets.
Yeah,
he is brilliant. He plays that perfectly.
Yeah,
he's so good. I mean, that talk about, you want to watch, you know, you want to get some education, actors, you want to watch something about you know, like that type of role or that character, watch that movie.
But the thing is I remember hearing a story with Jack Nicholson that he was just like, he gets so involved in his roles, whatever he's playing, because he genuinely loves to act. He's just like, I love to act.
Oh, 100%. Did you see, I know The Shining, right? It's always about The Shining. There's a little clip about him, like him doing his preparation
for
before
the
he knocks the door down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, Jin. Yeah, kill, murder.
And he's
picking up the axe.
It's great, yeah.
I refer to
put yourself
there. I've referred to this multiple times, but as a newer actor, a green actor like I am, I eat that shit up.
Yeah.
That's amazing to watch him do that.
Actor will be like, oh, good for him. Like, you need to be able to put yourself there.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's incredible.
So you said favorite, and then you said...
Guilty pleasure.
Well, there was another one.
Oh, and worst, maybe
worst,
one of the worst,
well, worst
one of the
I've
worst
seen,
films you've ever seen.
Batman vs Superman.
Oh yeah, the Jerry Schumacher one.
No, Batman vs Superman.
Oh,
Ben Affleck.
I'm thinking the George Clooney one.
That was pretty. Yeah,
when Batman vs Superman, like the most recent Affleck, Henry Cavill.
I was just so bummed, and the reason why it's so funny, because it's not even like it's the expectation, right? Mm-hmm. You have these expectations for these Batman movies or any of these.
Well, it's because
superhero
they've never
movies.
Done a live action Batman versus Superman film, so we're like, well,
it was
this
just,
is a movie like 80 years in the making. It better be good.
So the expectation is just way too high.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was probably my least favorite movie ever. And then guilty pleasure,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's probably a couple, right? It's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, really? Are you a McConaughey fan?
Or like Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay, so.
But I am a McConaughey fan.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, he's just, you know, he's just so confident.
Well, he's one of those other actors.
So confident.
Who's so, like, he's great in rom-coms, but he's also great in like these serious Hollywood films.
True Detective.
Oh, I actually haven't seen.
Holy shit!
When it comes to shows, though, like what are stuff like
watch
certain
that.
Shows that you love? That...
Watch. Oh man, we talked about it. I'm finally getting. I'm on the Ray Donovan train.
Oh, okay.
Currently,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Lee Schreiber's a great actor.
Ensemble
too.
Is just ridiculous. But and again, there's so much to learn from that show. And one of the things that I, you know, in terms of always be learning, is like the pauses. Right.
Sit in the silence.
The time that they take, but and slowing down. They're just all of them. The whole cast really is
anyone who's never acted.
Unbelievable.
That's really hard. You have to earn that in a scene, because if you've never worked with someone, or if you just get hired as a day player,
yeah,
like you don't want to take your time on the set, because that's not your set. That's someone else's set. Yeah. You're kind of working there for them.
It's
So when you're like the main,
it's difficult
because
you got to flirt with that line, right?
Exactly.
There's that line that
the hardest part about.
You
got
to walk that
line. How are you able to introduce yourself as this actor if you're really only, you know, if you're getting hired as like a one day person on a show, how are you really supposed to show what you? I mean, you could, but it's hard because, you know, you only really have a certain amount of time.
I don't know. I think the best way to go about that is, you know,
just trust yourself.
No, trust yourself, trust yourself, but commit, but just be respectful and be courteous. You know, when you're not acting,
and
when you're like, do your thing.
Yeah, but like I said, you got to earn it. You got to feel feels like it's the right time to
be professional,
to make this creative choice.
Because they, you know, everybody on set wants you to be great, right? I mean, they want you to like step up to their level. And
that is true. You have to have faith in the people that they believe in you.
Of course,
too,
but I don't know. You know, I think you just got to be humble, right? Just know what you're there to do. Do your job. Smile and nod.
I gotta bring you on set more often so you can keep telling me these things. Have you guys like? He's my personal coach.
Yeah. No, but just, you know.
But no, those are good because it's like, it's not like you can't like him because you're a guy. I love rom coms too, but I'm just, it is. Those are perfect guilty pleasure because even girls would be like, "Yo, because it's not like."
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, The Pianist or Lincoln. Sure. These are just like films that were supposed to be fun.
Right.
But I love them so much. Like they mean so much to me. Like a guilty pleasure of mine is probably like Back to the Future.
Oh, you consider that guilty pleasure? If we're talking top 10, Back to the Future is definitely
okay. Guilty pleasure, I like watching like Bad Boys, like Bad Boys 2 and stuff like that. Like
classic.
Those are just like
we used to play a drinking game to Bad Boys 2 every time, you know, that they would cuss, you have to take a drink. And like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
that was ridiculous,
exactly.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of good stuff.
That's great, because it's like I'm sure with you, like all film is there's some attribute to it that you love,
of course,
like,
something that is
exactly, you know, they put the work into this,
and that again because of how I sort of view, you know, my current position or you know level in this industry.
Yeah, you know where to, you know,
always
where to
be learning, man.
Yeah,
like I am in no place or position to judge anybody.
And you can learn even from the bad stuff. Oh. Like you know,
well, you
what
can
not
learn
to
probably
do.
More from the bad stuff than you could from the good.
So
really,
true.
I mean,
I'll watch anything. I
yeah,
will watch
you give
it, I,
you
give I,
anything
I will,
once.
I'll go to the theater because it's fun and like you'll just enjoy sitting. And
oh my god!
Film.
Okay, speaking of theater, the most recent thing I saw in the theater, I think actually, Uncut Gems.
Oh okay.
Did you see it?
I did. Yeah. I didn't like
it
as much as I thought I would.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I'm more of a like I just watched Marriage Story last night.
You said that. Yes, I
that,
need to watch
I'm
that.
More. That's way more up my alley. I love the indie like Noah Baumbach sort of love complicated story. I love like that movie. I ate up.
I need to watch it. Well, Adam Driver is just
Adam Driver is
Scarlett
an unstoppable machine.
Both are just ridiculous.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I just thought the whole script, the story, the acting, everything about it was just so sweet.
I need to check it out.
It felt so nice to watch. I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot of torment that happens because it's sad,
right?
And I cried, but I also laughed. It's just like you said, like you want to go through all the emotions,
right?
And it's like there are parts of it that are written like a comedy. It's like a sketch. Well, then there's part of it that are written like this theater performance. It feels like you're watching theater,
right?
Because it's like it's just two people talking in a room,
just
like breaking
just
down.
Just
and that's why I thought it was an incredible film.
I know. I definitely need to watch that.
But that's good. I love those are all good choices. Let's talk about because you said you love music. Your love for music.
Yes.
What type of music inspires you? What type of music do you listen to a lot?
That's such a tough question. I mean, I think it depends upon, you know, what's going on
exactly
in my life.
What mood do you want to feel today?
And what mood do I want to feel today? Mm-hmm. And what mood am I already in? Chris Stapleton is insane.
Yeah.
But I like them all, man. Chris Stapleton. Johnny Cash.
I love Johnny
Reba.
Cash. Yeah. Chris Stapleton's great too. If there's any like country artists I have listened to, it's definitely Chris Stapleton and Johnny Cash.
But I mean,
are you a Tom Waits guy?
No.
No.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, I But it's like, it's not that I'm not, right? It's just, but like Jason Aldean, Eric Church, but you know, I don't know. So, Leonard Skinner. I mean, I like music. Too, yeah. I just love music.
Is there music outside of country, like maybe score music or classical music?
Bon Iver.
Yeah. He's one of them too.
So the movie, The Judge.
Oh, I haven't seen it with Robert Downey Jr.
And Robert Duvall, which is amazing.
I haven't seen it, but I hear it's good.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's a father-son thing. Yeah, for sure. You know, the relationship that I have with my dad, I very much enjoyed that movie. But Bon Iver has a song in there that that's awesome.
Or maybe is it Bon Iver? I always thought it was Bon Iver.
I don't know.
It could be Bon Iver.
Maybe Bon Iver. I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty good too.
But he's, I mean, it's awesome. But I like everything, man. Like, my parents were very similar when they were younger, but different as they got older in terms of the type of music that they liked.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, we listen to a lot of oldies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oldies.
I think that's why there's certain country music that I do like, because it has like that old sort of like bluesy country. Like I love old country music.
Yeah,
I love old, like I love folk music. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to like a lot of jazz and all that stuff. I love music
going
that
to, like,
sounds
New Orleans and just going to a bar and just let them do their thing.
Yeah, like I love music that feels like it's out of this time.
But I love all of it. I mean, I do. I very much enjoy and appreciate all different kinds of music.
And that's a good thing about music, especially for a performer, is that because it sets that mood.
Oh, yes.
Do you listen to film or I'm sorry, do you listen
music
to music
in preparation?
Yeah, like 100%. like let's say you're doing the Western film. What were you, I mean, I'm sure you listen to country, but for the pilot, what was sort of the stuff you were listening to?
It depended upon the day.
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, there's a portion of it where I'm like a tortured soul.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they wanted me to be. So, like, you know, that playlist, right, was of course much different than the days that were happy, you know, robbing trains and riding around with the gang, and you know, that's more upbeat, up tempo, just stuff to stuff to just sort of get your, you know, get your blood pumping, just to elevate you a bit. But it totally depends.
Sometimes even when I read, I put like classical music on because I like to read to that.
See, I'm such a bad reader.
Oh, yeah,
I think you have
to concentrate.
Well, I think I may have a hint of like, you know, ADD or ADHD or something.
Same here.
So, you know, when I'm reading, like, I need to really focus. So
you have to be zoned in.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're on books, what's one book that you recommend?
Oh, man.
A book that really, you like, spoke to you.
I started reading a book called What Every Body, so not What Everybody, but What Every Body Is Saying. It's written by a former FBI agent, but in essence it's about body language.
Oh, okay, that's pretty interesting. And that's a great book for an actor.
Exactly.
That's why I got it.
That's why I got it. No, because I wanted to know, what am I conveying by what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, you know, when I'm making choices and I'm doing these things, it's like, what am I conveying? Am I conveying what I want to be conveying, mm-hmm. or am I conveying something completely different? And then what are other people saying by what they're doing? And it's been very interesting.
That's actually such a great recommendation and a great read, because there's so many times where I watch a film and I like the choices, not even the choices, but there's certain things that actors do with their hands or the way they sit.
It's the
or the way they walk around. Like,
it's
a great example for a more blockbuster-esque film is The Joker.
Oh.
Because every move
that he does means something.
Meant something.
Absolutely.
Just the way he would move his hands, or the way he would wipe his face, or the way he would like open a door, everything meant something. And that is so interesting. And even if it's just a normal character, like, I'll go back to Marriage Story again, like Adam Driver, he's such a still actor.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't until the moments where he has like this big, crazy
outburst
that he does these things with his hands, and his shoulders rise up, and his face kind of like peaks, his nose kind of just like points forward like he's a predator,
right?
And it's so interesting. So I like that, and I love how people react into certain situations. So that's such a great, what's the name of the book?
It's What Every Body, like a person's body, mm-hmm. What Every Body Is Saying. And of course, we're off the top of my head, I can't think of the...
Oh, that's okay. We can never think of the author.
The author.
But that's so interesting. So what's something,
it's brilliant.
What's something that you picked up out of it the most?
Something was so cool, because, like, you know, a lot of it, is him just explaining, you know, how this stuff works. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's constantly telling stories about, you know, how he knew somebody was guilty or something else was going on just based upon a little tick or whatever. Wow. Which, and again, you can just, like you were saying before, you can directly relate that to acting.
Yeah.
Because I think when you think of a brilliant performance, right, it's not it's the little things mm-hmm. that make, like, you know, the good great or the great unbelievable. It's just like, it's that little nuance
they were able to put in there. You have to realize what your body does
when
you're doing certain things and when people are watching you. Your body is like it's an organism.
If it tenses up because the camera's on you or whatever.
So you have to act in a way where no one is watching you.
It can feel so unnatural. Very difficult.
That's great.
Well, it's like you were saying, Steve Martin, right? Like, mm-hmm. just like acting confidence. Like, you just have to put yourself in a mindset that's like...
Well, you say you're nervous. You get nervous whenever you perform. And so do I. I get nervous all the time when I perform. But what are some tools that you use, for example, that when as soon as you get on set or as soon as you start a performance,
how
do you deal with that?
It's preparation, right? Mm-hmm. Like first off, and of course, which seems so obvious, but it's like, you know, one of the things, the first things that you learn, or I learned at where I studied Meisner at Baron Brown, was like, you know your words cold.
Yeah.
Know them front and back. You could say them falling down the stairs. That's what DW would always say. Say them. Know them so well that if you fell down the stairs, you could still just say them. But know them by rote, right? Yeah. Like, because you don't want to memorize them with emotion, because then you're going to, you know, you're going to give these sort of, you know, mm-hmm. pre-planned, delivered line deliveries, and you can't change it because it's stuck in your brain. So it's like, know them by rote so that, of course, you know, you can just react accordingly to the situation. Exercises, I guess, that I found doing research in terms of just, like, you know, honestly, like a lot of physical stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like stretching,
mm-hmm.
Shaking out, doing, you know, verbal, you know, gouda, 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 gouda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, red leather, yellow leather. I mean, and it sounds stupid, but for me, it's more about just, like, you know, warming up your tongue, like, but it's just like getting out of my head.
I mean, if you're acting, it's like running a marathon,
right?
You know, it's like you have to prep for that. You can't just start running a marathon.
Exactly.
You can't just walk on set and be like, let's do this. Anyone who does is probably a pretentious asshole.
Right.
And they're probably not going to make it too far because it's like, I could just show up.
You
and
have
just
to,
like,
respect it.
Yeah. You have to respect the craft. Yeah. You have to understand that it's, you know, it's hard. You're putting your body through a lot of torment, you know. When you're young and in high school, I'm sure back then I was like, who cares, you know?
Sure.
But now I'm like, no, I need to respect this. Yeah. I need to jump into it knowing that it's gonna be, you know, a hard task.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's, so I guess, yeah, I have little exercises and little drills or whatever you want to call them that I do to just sort of, you know, get me loosened up, get me, you know, sort of out of my head and mm-hmm. You know, let's go. Let's roll.
Perfect,
let's,
man.
Let's
I love that.
It, you know.
All right. So these are the quick last questions of the podcast.
Oh,
there's a few of them.
Quick last questions.
All right. So, what is your unrealistic dream job? If you can be anything else besides an actor, that you're not qualified for, but you always thought was interesting, you're just like, I wish I can do that.
Oh man, there's a lot of things.
What's one you can think?
I mean, like, I always. I mean,
besides being a cowboy,
coming from a sports family, mm-hmm. I always thought it'd be like cool to be like the GM of like a sports franchise.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be like
that's
the
awesome.
GM. Of
Not
the
even
Chicago
one
Bears.
Of the players, just the GM.
Be like the GM of the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
Like that'd be, you know, that'd be. I mean, it's you know, it'd be amazing.
That'd be so cool, man.
But I mean, that's just one of probably many that I like.
Why GM? Because you just like to.
I mean, like you. Because there's a lot of responsibility there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the owner is the owner, and mm-hmm. you know, but the GM depending upon the franchise, right, mm-hmm. is making the decisions.
Yeah,
and you know who you're bringing
in. So you like to be the head honcho.
Well, I mean, just like there's a lot of responsibility there. I want, you know, assuming right, of course, if I had the job, that I wouldn't have the wherewithal and mm-hmm. the information that I need to have, but just like to build a team and you know, help build a team, right, with and companion or in with the head coach. But yeah, I don't know, that'd be dope.
All right, so this one is called your dream, your go-to, your perfect breakfast.
My perfect, oh, steak and eggs.
Oh, really?
Give me steak and
that's
eggs.
All, you know, that's a very popular Cuban breakfast.
Give
steak
me
and
steak
eggs.
And eggs,
steak
bro.
And eggs, yeah.
My okay, talk about how amazing my mother is. Uh-huh. My mom, when I was in high school and, like, you know, on game days mm-hmm. and stuff, like she would make me steak and eggs.
That's awesome, man.
Breakfast.
Good old mom.
She's...
My mom would just put Eggos in the toaster.
My mom's unbelievable. She is an absolute rock star.
That's awesome, dude. Yes. I love my mom too, heroes. But I can't even explain how many times I've had toaster strudels for breakfast. She does not cook.
No, mom.
Steak. So mom would make steak and eggs. Incredible.
Breakfast was her forte.
That's awesome.
She, you know,
it's a good forte to have.
Well, social worker. Right, so she has her MSW, Master's in Social Work. So, like, you know, crazy amount of hours. I mean, this woman is a beast.
She sounds awesome.
So she would work crazy hours. So dinner, you know, not so much.
Okay, but breakfast, she had it locked down.
Oh, she.
So when you think of like your favorite meal, it's steak and eggs during breakfast time, huh?
Steak and eggs.
That's perfect. All right, this is. Do you believe in reincarnation? And if you do, what do you think you were in your past life? That'd be another person or an animal?
I can't say I really believe in reincarnation . I don't know. It's interesting. I don't necessarily like not believe, but I've never had any sort of
neutral.
Just because I never really had any experiences or had any, I don't honestly know.
What about an animal? Would there
What animal would I have been? Ooh. I don't know. Maybe, I don't have any idea. It's funny because I'm a little goofy, but you know, I've definitely
You like sports stuff. So maybe you were like, maybe a horse, you know, maybe you were like a horse and you're like a country guy. Maybe you're like a wild horse.
Hey, I'm not mad about that.
Yeah.
We can go with that.
Like you like Westerns.
Sure.
So
yes.
Maybe you were a horse in your past.
I'm a wild stallion.
There you go, we found it.
That works, man. That works.
There you go, man. That's perfect. All right, last one. This is called
we're
gonna do a quick round of this or that.
Oh man, okay.
All right, here we go.
Oh gosh.
Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra?
Oh, Frank Sinatra.
Coen Brothers or Tarantino?
Tarantino.
Disney World or Universal Studios?
Universal Studios.
Owen Wilson or Luke Wilson?
Owen Wilson.
The Office or Parks and Rec?
Office.
Friends or How I Met Your Mother?
Friends.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Whiskey or beer?
Ooh. I guess overall, I just got to say beer.
Okay. Soup or salad?
Salad.
Marvel or DC?
Oh, God. That sucks because I'm such a big Batman guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I think as a whole, I think you got to go Marvel as a whole.
If it were a different generation, you'd probably say DC, but because Marvel has done so much in this last 10 years.
I'm a huge Batman fan, but overall, like I said, in recent times, you got to probably.
Isn't that funny how that works? It's like it's like Marvel DC. What era are we talking about?
Right, yeah. I was never like a comic book guy, so I'm mm-hmm. not overly big into either.
Mm-hmm.
But but Batman was it.
Yeah. I don't know if you smoke, but indica or sativa.
I don't.
Okay, if you did,
I have.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't, and I don't even know. What does that mean? I know. Well, I know like one is like a more like upbeat, and one is more chill.
Yeah.
But would
you be the upbeat guy or the chill one?
I would be more chill.
Okay.
So I run hot anyways. I don't need anything.
Yeah, same here.
I don't need
anything. People are like, "Are you on coke?" I'm like, "No, man. I'm just living.
Yeah.
I'm just living, dude.
Coffee.
Yeah. Old school or new school?
Old school.
Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Early riser or night owl?
Oh, I'm a night owl.
Mm-hmm. Tacos or burritos?
Oh, tacos.
Star Wars or Harry Potter?
Neither.
Really? Neither.
Well, it's like we didn't talk about my age, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I kind of missed. I'm past Star Wars, even though of course like all these new ones came out.
Mm-hmm.
But like. I'm neither.
Yeah.
I've literally
And then you were
seen,
you're maybe a little too I'm, old for Harry Potter at the time.
I maybe have seen one of each. I mean, I'm talking like Star Wars wise. I think I saw the original.
Oh, really? You haven't seen the new ones?
I have not seen anything since.
Wow.
And then Harry Potter, I think I've also seen the original.
That's it.
And I've not seen anything else.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool, man. That's you're one
like,
of you're
like
you're
I
one
feel
of
like my
yeah.
my stock.
You're one
just
of a billion.
Crashed.
Yeah, I just lost
my
half my
stock
audience.
Just crashed after that answer alone.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
this one's actually good for you.
Oh,
sci-fi
God.
Or spaghetti western?
Oh, this might shock you. Sci-fi.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Sci-fi. Oh, Back to the Future, man.
You talk all that shit about Star Wars. You just did a Western.
I know.
Yet you still choose sci-fi.
Well, because I loved Back to the Future.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't not like Star Wars. I just never got into it.
But sci-fi to you, like that sort of sci-fi.
I like stuff that could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, time travel, you know, whatever. It's probably whatever. What you want to say about?
But Star Wars is too far fetched.
I mean, maybe
you don't believe in lightsabers and
don't
the Force.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, who knows? Maybe I go watch one and I just become like I just geek out.
Yeah, that's true.
I just haven't.
The new ones are
other
fun.
Things have just sort of like that I've
stuck
wanted to watch. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
All right, so shortcut or scenic route?
Scenic route.
Superhero or supervillain, or the person working at the coffee bean while the building comes down.
What?
So you got your supervillain, this all important good guy.
Yeah.
Hero. Did I say, hero. Gotcha. You got your supervillain, who's also like this interesting dark side, but may have a reason for doing all this, you know, like a Thanos type of person. Or are you just the normal schmuck who's working at the coffee bean while the battle's going on and the building's coming down and they're just like, we gotta go?
I don't, in terms of like what I would want to like play, I think super villain.
Oh, really?
That would be so dope.
That would be cool. That would be fun to do.
I would very much enjoy. Because
there's deeper things to go while you're playing a super villain.
Like Joker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
I mean,
there's so much. Huge, I think there's so much more to work with.
But just like, that would just be crazy.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Good. That's a good answer. I think you're the first supervillain on this show.
Well, I mean, just in terms of what I want to play, what I actually am is probably the dude at the coffee shop.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, that's the show. That's everything I want to ask you. Thank you so much for taking your time to be here.
No, man. Thank you for having me.
So you want to go ahead and promote yourself? I always ask the guests, you want to say where people can find you? They can watch your stuff and all that?
Sure. Yes. Again, the name is Josh Gilmer, G-I-L-M-E-R. Josh.Gilmer on Instagram. And then I have a website coming soon.
Oh, sweet.
JoshGilmer.com. I mean, it's going to be...
I got to get me one of those.
Well, it's really just a place to put my reel.
It's a business
for people.
Card.
Yes. It's for people to be able to check out my reel. So that should be coming soon. But yeah, Josh Gilmer, check me out. IMDb, all
cool,
that
man.
Great stuff.
Can't wait to see what you're doing next.
Appreciate it, brother.
So yeah, guys, check out Josh. Make sure to download the episode, or if you want, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can listen for free. Please leave a rating and review if you so kindly want to. You can be mean. It's fine. I like criticism. just be gentle. But yeah, guys, remember to subscribe to the show. If you have any questions or thoughts, message me on the Instagram at Christian Lugo. Thank you, Gilbert Louis Ray, for the theme. And this is my sign off. I like to begin a sentence and I have the guest finish it.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty simple. So all right, folks. Thanks again for listening to a new episode of Conversations from a Room. Have a nice night. And
it's been a blast, man. Thanks for having me. But peeps, thanks for listening and have a great afternoon.
Goodbye, folks. Let's see, maybe something for your dog, like a specific dog treat. A dog treat? Oh, a protein drug. Like, if you want your dog to be just as swole as you, you got him these protein dog treats.
Flex and Rex.
Flex and Rex, okay.
The protein for a dog to make him as ripped as you are.
Oh, gross. That sounds nasty. All right, let's do that.